Hello, friends. This is a continuation of the study Following God. We want to pick up in the Gospel of John, chapter 10, and we want to read verses 22 through 30. At that time, the Feast of the Dedication took place at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. The Jews then gathered around him and were saying to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, these testify of me. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." So three things here we want to look at is in verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." In following God, you know, again, I want to stress, and I want to continue to stress, actually, that trust is the basis of our relationship with God. We trust, we have to trust that He's there, number one. You know, you can't come to God if you don't believe that He exists. And if you believe that He exists, and you give your life to Him in turn for salvation, if you believe that Jesus Christ died for our sins, and He was raised to give us righteousness, you know, if you believe that, then you can trust that Father God will guide you. We are, just like Jesus said, we are His sheep. You know, we're followers. Just right off the bat, we're followers of Christ. You know, we listened to His voice calling us in our hearts, and we've given up our lives to follow Him, following His voice. And the second thing I want to stress, that we can take comfort in God protecting us. You know, as we follow Him, of course there's going to be danger. Of course there's going to be wolves trying to snatch us. But, you know, here Jesus is basically gave us a promise. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. So we can find comfort in God holding us, in God keeping us, as long as we trust and listen to His voice calling us. As long as we listen to His voice teaching us. As long as we're open to His Spirit guiding us, He's going to protect us. We have to stay in the fold. We can't go wandering off. Or obviously we're not in the protection of the shepherd, if you want to look at it that way. Okay, let's go to Ephesians. And we're going to go to chapter 2. And we're going to read verses 1 through 10. "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging in the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. For by grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Okay, so Paul lays out here, basically, of what our lives were like before we met Christ. And all of us, before we met Christ, basically, were enemies of God. We were enemies of God in our minds, in our hearts, and in our actions. Until he opened us up, until he opened our eyes through the revelation of what Jesus Christ did for us, and we accepted that. You know, it was then that we became alive. It was then that we have righteousness. Paul says that our lives are hidden in Christ. We don't know what our life is like. That's all we do here on the earth is build each other up and follow him, you know, even blindly or by faith, basically. Our lives are hidden in him so that when he comes, then we will know what our lives are going to be like. But while we are here, we have to live by faith, by the hope that we will be saved by him. And here in verse 10, again, a comfort verse. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. The reason why I say that's a comfort verse is because that it's not by our works. Before that, he talks about, you know, the grace of God. It's by the grace of God that we even came to Christ. It's by the grace of God that we were even woken up to the hope of salvation. You know, it's what he did. So we can trust that he works in us. God is creating us. God is molding us into the image of Christ. Each one of us, individuals as we are being molded into the image of Christ. We're being molded into the image of righteousness. You know, as we practice peace, as we practice giving mercy, as we practice kindness, we're being molded. God is working in our hearts to shape us. And I find comfort in that because it takes all the stress off of me. If it's fine, put it on God. God works in us to will and to work for his good pleasure. He's making us. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. So, basically, this has all been prepared for us. That's all we have to do, is just let go. Just continually to let go of our lives. Continually let go of our plans. And God will reveal his plan for us, that he has made, for us to walk in them. You know, it's not like we have to create anymore. God did that. He created a pathway for each of us to walk down. And as we give up our lives in Christ, we find that. That's why Jesus Christ said to take his yoke, to take his burden, for it is light and it is easy. because work has been done already. Okay, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2. You want to read verses 11 through 25. Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts, which wage war against the soul. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. Now here, we just learned from Paul that, you know, we come from the other side. We were enemies of God. We followed after the lusts of our flesh. And here Peter is basically telling us this, don't go back to that. You know, don't take that stuff back into ourselves. You know, because that's darkness, that's dirt, basically. We're clean. We've been washed. So we can't turn around and go back and get in that mud again and start playing in it anymore. That's not fitting for us. And here we see the grace of God when he says, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts which wage war against the soul. So we have a choice to either abstain or delve into it. Each of us have that choice. And the more and more we continue down the pathway of following God, following under his yoke, trusting in the Lord for his strength, the more we practice being righteous, the clearer that line is going to become of whether we step over it or not. The clearer those choices are going to be, the stronger we'll get in turning away from those things that, you know, that wage war against us. You know, why do we want to struggle? Why do we want to bring that stuff back into our lives to struggle with it? It's like going outside into the high grass looking for snakes and bringing them back in our bed. You know, and then crying out to God when they bite us. Trust God to clean that out of us. As you submit to him, and I said before in other lessons, coming clean to him, telling him, being honest, being open, allowing him to see your intentions, to lay yourself out before him, to humble ourselves. That's when God works, is in when we're weak. That's what he means. When we're weak, when we're humble, when we've laid down, that's when he works. That's when his strength is perfected. Submit yourselves. Picking up back in verse 13. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether to a king as the one in authority, or to governors as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. For such is the will of God, that by doing right you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. Act as free men, and do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but use it as bond slaves to God. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. And boy, that's something we need in our day, when politics is so high in our minds. Let the dead worry about the dead. Submit ourselves and fear God. And pray for those who are in authority over us, that we may lead peaceful lives. You know, let's tend to the brotherhood. Let's live peaceably. Let's build each other up. Let's do what is right. Even though the people in authority, some of them do wrong, you know, and aren't Christian, then what are we supposed to do about that? We're supposed to pray for them. We're supposed to lift them up to God. And we're still supposed to do what is right. And here he goes on, for what credit is there when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure it with patience. But if when you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it, this finds favor with God. Basically, you know, he's just saying that when we do wrong, they get punished for it, you know, and we endure that punishment. It's for nothing. But if we get punished for doing what is right, if we get punished for standing up for righteousness and endure it, that's when God favors us. That's when God is pleased. Because basically we're standing up for his character. We're standing up with Christ in us and against this evil and corrupt world. For you have been called for this purpose, I'm going on in verse 21. Since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor any deceit was found in his mouth. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept trusting himself to him who judges righteously. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed. So that's our example. It's what Christ did. Not returning evil for evil, but blessing those, for forgiving those who come against us. That's following Christ. That's following his example. Because he was punished more than any of us would go through. And still he kept silent. And like Peter said, he didn't breathe any threats. He entrusted himself to the Father. Because it is God who judges righteously. It is, he left himself up, you know, in God's hands. You know, we look around at our lives, we're getting treated badly. We're saying, God, where are you? Where are you? You know, where are you? Are you trusting yourself? You know, or are you trusting in God? Are you giving yourself over to God and let him judge them? Or let him take down notes for their future punishment? Bless them. Christ did. We're not better than Christ. Alright. The next one, we might be able to finish up, but that's the end of this session here. And you be blessed today.